Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to YDUQS' video conference to discuss the results for the first quarter of 2022. This video conference is being recorded, and the replay will be available at the company's website at www.edux.com.br. The presentation will also be available for download. We would like to inform you that all attendees will only be watching the video conference during the presentation. And then we will start the question and answer section when further instructions will be provided. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that any statements that may be made during this conference call regarding the company's business prospects, operational and financial projections and goals are beliefs and assumptions of YDUQS' executive board and the current information available to the company. These statements may involve risks and uncertainties as they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors, analysts, and journalists should be aware that events related to the macroeconomic scenario, the industry, and other factors that could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in the respective forward-looking statements. Present at this video conference, we have Mr. Eduardo Parente, CEO of YDUQS, and Mr. Rossano Marx Leandro, CFO and Investor Relations Officer. I would like to hand the floor over to Mr. Eduardo Parente, who will begin the presentation. Please, Mr. Eduardo, you may proceed.
Thank you very much. Morning to all. We had this English session on the previous quarter, and despite the fact that, I don't know, two or three dozens of people showed up, the feedback that we got was very good, in the sense that you always lose something in translation, and it's a way to understand better, and in a lighter way or in a slower path, what's going on here. So we decided to repeat. Please, if you like it, let a note for our investor relations team. It will help us make sure that this is the right thing for to keep on doing in the future. Okay. So I'm Eduardo Parente. I'm the CEO of YDUQS. We are here to present the first quarter results. We have a first quarter. That's the page here showing that we're very satisfied with it. We have, for people who followed us for some time now, we have two high growth businesses, which are distance learning and the premium business. These businesses have been doing very well and growing double digits, always at least with a two or three in the beginning, forever, even for a long time now, even during the pandemic, the resilience was very high and the growth was there. And we were always discussing the on-site business, what was the future, the concerns. It was always either shrinking or maintaining levels. And I think that what we're showing here this morning is, just a clear sign of recovery on the on-campus and the other levers delivering as they have in the past years. So just to illustrate some numbers on the recovery, there was a huge evolution of the intake, people coming back to classes. The base, the full base of students is resuming its growth. When we see the EBITDA of the on-campus business also growing, and we keep on focusing on cost reduction and the faculty cost, which is the highest that we have over revenue, also reducing an important amount of 2 percentage points. That is a lot due to the lots of investments that we've been doing in the past years in terms of digitalization and making sure that we move on and evolve with the quality of the content and the student experience. But at the other end, we're using digital content as much as we can to complement the on-site experience. Under the growth levels, delivering as usual, 44% growth versus 1 year ago, and digital and premium student base, 20% growth in net revenues and EBITDA, more than that. 220 seats, medical seats approved. This is important. These seats, they grow upon government authorization. There are some prerequisites for these authorizations. They're like planned. They're not out of the blue things. These are things that, you know, there's a mathematical account for that. And this is going pretty much as planned. So when we look at our medical seats, we always only communicate the ones we already have. We communicate projections as well. Some people communicate projections as guarantee seats. We prefer to guarantee them before we talk about them. And we have another 228 seats added to our portfolio early this year, which is very good news. So these seats, you know, they when you sell a medical school, you usually buy, you sell them at 2 million or 2.5 million highs per seat. So these seats alone would add another half billion reais in our market cap. I'm not sure. It seems it does. It is not reflected on the valuation still. And the growth in distance learning centers, this is pretty important. We've evolved into a model which is very lean. We have a break even of 32 students alone. And this lean model is very efficient to evolve to the countryside, which is something that our competitors are not able to do as efficient as we are, because the break-even is much higher than ours. This is when centers are much bigger and CapEx heavy and also personnel heavy. So this growth to the countryside is very important to us, because we've been saying this for a while, there's a lot of competition on the big cities, and this competition tends to push your prices down. And when you go to the countryside, you're pretty much alone out there. So this has been very successful for us. On the right hand side of the page, we have the cost optimization here. We've evolved in marketing and sales expenses. Not that we evolved pretty much, we're pretty much coming back to where we've been before and where we should be. The reference in Q121 was we started a campaign that did not go well. We had to change it. A lot of money spent on there, and you know, and so we're very transparent about that a year ago. So pretty much what's happening here is going back to the regular expenditures that we have. Personnel costs. A lot of people are concerned that, you know, us coming back full on site now, that, you know, we will have an impact on the cost. Well, on the contrary, we've been able to reduce personnel costs. This is a little bit due to the fact that during the pandemic, we communicated non-recurrent, both in terms of revenues and of costs. So there were some savings that we had during the pandemic because of, you know, people not going to on site or government bills. We communicated as non-recurrent. So the reference is that. Okay, so it's you paid off same for leasing. You know, leasing is inflation high here. We were you know, pretty successful in renegotiating some adjustment factors, but also on optimizing physical space, not only shutting down a few campuses, but also shrinking some of the campuses that we have fewer people. So, you know, all in all, that resulted in an inflationary environment, reduction in these expenses over net. The actual absolute expense a little higher, but when you put over net revenue, that was a reduction. And then on the far right-hand side, we have the results, you know, pretty big increase in adjusted EBITDA, same for net income. We're still very healthy in terms of cash and cash equivalents and the debt ratio. Okay. What is very important, guys, that I will repeat this at the end, because I think the key message here is that we had a very good, a very exciting first quarter. And I need you to understand this, which we had a bad comparison basis over last year. So, you know, you should not replicate this number for the other quarters that we have for this year. So it was good. It was something that we're very proud and very happy about. Second quarter last year was a fantastic second quarter, because last year we postponed a lot of the intakes from first quarter to second quarter. So the base of comparison is much stronger in the second quarter. We're likely to have a second quarter similar to what we had last year, which, again, is a very good number. But so, you know, very good container excitement. We have some some battles ahead of us. But on the other hand, what I think is pretty clear now, we are trading, I don't know, depending on the multiple, or the results you get, depending on the year, last year, next year, whatever, it's 4 or 5 times EBITDA, or perhaps 6, which is pretty much half of what we had in the past. And I think this is unfair, not only to us, but to the sector. So very good quarter. We should be happy about it. We're happy about it. Don't get overexcited. But again, clear demonstration that the multiple that we're trading at is not where we should be now. Okay. Jose, if we can help you to the next page. So this is an evolution. We don't have these institutes that evaluate market share on a day-to-day basis, like, you know, consumer goods or retail sectors have. We have INEP, which is, you know, pretty much delayed information. But that, again, is the information that we have. And I think that, you know, it was just released at 2020 information. On the left-hand side, we see the on-campus business. I think this, besides the message that we're gaining market share, and I think if we move this on to 21 and 22, it's going to be an even bigger number. So we're coming from 7 to 9% on the enrollments and 7 to 11% on the intake. But there's a second underlying message here on the left-hand side is that it's pretty reduced consolidation on the on-campus business. So this is something that right now we see as somewhat expensive, the acquisitions to be made. I think that, you know, to acquire someone now or to merge, it needs to be either someone that's undervalued, which is pretty much all the listed companies, or someone that has, you know, a very special business, either premium side or something tech related. So all in all, what we see here is an opportunity for consolidation, which, you know, right now with the current interest rates that we're paying, we like to make acquisitions that after synergies, we're paying 5 or 6 times EBITDA, and we only consider cost synergies. But the 2 years that we take to get to these 5 to 6 times EBITDA, they just became very expensive with the current interest rates that we're paying. So we have to, we had a list of business about to be done in the last semester, the end of last year. We have to reassess all of them and pretty much start from scratch, some negotiation. But at some point in time, it has to happen. We see a lot of companies here that, you know, are barely making break even in the low consolidation level in the sector. The right-hand side is a distance learning segment. And big involvement evolution on the intake. So from 9 to 13% of market share, intake from 8 to 15, twice almost, high growth segment, more consolidation of this segment. And we think that these market share gains are, you know, going to be, you know, even higher when we take a look at the 2021 figures, which will take a little while for the government to announce. Okay. So moving on to page 5, what we have here, these were guidances that we gave about intakes and pricing. When we look into the premium segment, we said that we would be, one thing is important for newcomers to the sector. Premium and on campus, they have semester intakes and while the digital learning, every quarter you have intakes here. So it's very different ways to think about the business and the numbers that we're presenting here. So on the premium, we give a guidance between 10 and 20% of increase in intake. On the quarter, it was 31%. The right way to look at this is look at 24%, which was, you know, the semester number. So the 24 is going after the March 31st date, right? So it includes everybody that came in early April, which is when we finished this intake. On the average ticket, we talked about a 0 to 5% increase. We had a very good late cycle that, you know, late comers, unlike on the on-campus late comers, sometimes pay more for medicine and Invermec. That's what's happened. So we were able to deliver way above the guidance that we gave. Okay. I'm going to go to the right-hand side first, which is on campus, which is the same semester way to think about. So we gave a guidance between 30 and 50% increase. The actual increase on the quarter was 59%. The right way to think about this was a 39 year over year increase, including the ones that entered early April there. On the pricing, we gave the guidance between 0 and -5. We had a -6. The reason for that is we have a product called DIS, which is a way to finance the first installments of the new students. You know, what happens there is that he pays a little bit on the first installment, and the difference between that and the full price, he gets financed for the remaining of his course. We account that as revenues on the spot. Fewer people decided to take this opportunity to finance the first installments. So what happens is that instead of paying recognizing revenue of 1,200 reais that will become cash over the length of his stay here, we recognize a number much lower than that. That will not affect his seventh month on. It's just a way, you know, to finance and people, because fewer people chose to do this financing, we had an impact on the, you know, revenue divided by number of people, which ended up being the average ticket. Had people adhered to this program in the same level that they had last year, our ticket for on campus would have been flat. So what we've contracted with the people coming in, remember this is a huge intake, roughly a third of the base is newcomers. Had they had a year, the same levels would be the same. When we look into the seventh month on, we're looking to numbers flattish versus the previous year. Going to the middle of the page, we're talking about, middle of the page, talking about digital learning. Again, so this is a quarterly intake. We projected between 50 and 60% growth. We had 68. Be careful with this number. Because again, last year we had a lot of people, because of the campaign we did, I'm not gonna get into details, but a lot of people were postponed or pushed as of 13 February. So somebody showed up here in February 26. We said, okay, you're enrolled, but you start April 1st. So there's a lot of movement from people from the first quarter to the second quarter. We wrote down here the way to think, you know, in terms of what's happening to this market. If we thought about this in a semester basis, we'll be looking into 15-20% growth, which is a very good growth. We were happy and proud of it. But, you know, again, we fulfill the guidance here. Regarding pricing, remember that we had a fantastic intake on the second quarter last year. So these people now, they're doing the 1 year, that the full 12 months that they're here. This is when we're allowed to increase them. The increases that we have for veterans is about 14%. So we have a lot of people that joined in the second, third, and fourth quarter last year and first quarter this year that they have not had their prices increased yet. When we see the regular situation, something much closer to flattish than what we have here. Okay. So moving on to the next page, we had the biggest intake of our life. And I think that this... couple of things that we have to credit that. One is, you know, I'm going to talk about it a little bit on the next page. We improved a lot the experience of the people here, not only in terms of academic side, but also how they interact digitally and how they study, how they engage with us. But also we have invested a lot of money both in the digital side. So today, a year ago, people take like 2 weeks to engage here, to enroll here. Today, they're taking less than 15 minutes. More than half of the people have a full digital process. They don't talk to anyone. It's just, you know, they make the test, they get the test back, and everything's computer-based. This is extremely helpful in making sure that the people join us. You know, it's one barrier less. When we see the competition, they are far behind, a very manual process, very analogic. Very lengthy as well, not clear path on how to do this. On the right-hand side is about investment in image. We had some iconic campaigns, very strong media, very, you know, big reaction from the public. These people here, Anita, famous singer, number one Spotify globally for a couple of weeks. Juliet is a winner of Big Brother two seasons ago. Both of them, I know, strong women that, a lot of resilience, humble background, that very successful, a lot of people, a lot of the class of C&D students that we attend to, they look up to her and say, I want to be like them. This huge success. The change of the brand in medicine from Estacio to Idomed, so very big impact as well. Results of that, I could go on and on about Ibermec, Mata Falcon, other brands, but all in all, what we have is when we look at Google, we have 44% share of interest in the educational spectrum in Brazil. We're number one, 24 points ahead of the second place. Talking about the next page of the experience of the student, we have now a fully developed app. It's in Portuguese here, but the student does everything on the app. He'll pay his invoices on the app. He'll select the classes for next semester on the app. He will attend to classes on the app as well. He will exchange information with his professor on the app. He'll exchange his work. He will upload a spreadsheet that he did, and he will get the content of the class on the app. We have developed our own system for this. We realized, we were able to develop something much leaner and efficient to our students than the regular suppliers have. We think that this became a competitive advantage for us. When we had an external supplier, we developed things with them that ended up being used for the entire market. The supplier kind of became a competitor of ours as well. So now we've abandoned all the external suppliers, and we're not only operating cheaper, but I think the speed that we add new features and change things and correct things is great. And I think this became a key competitive advantage for us. The app is graded at 4.6 at Play Store. We have 750,000 active students on the app monthly. So it's not something that, it's there and people use it once in a while. It's day-to-day use. We're shifting people from, using computers and into the app. So 35% of the access to the classes is done through the app. We're starting phase two of Ensine.me. So phase one was, changing the format of the classes, making something way more interesting, engaging, and academically more efficient. Phase two now is making it very lean and fast to upload and allowing people to study on the bus real time. And so it's a real big step for us. And that graded on the App Store that I mentioned to you on Play Store, it's improved a lot since we've changed it to Ensine.me phase two. Okay. Moving on to the financial numbers on the premium segment, we added this quarter number since 2018, because I think especially for people that have not been following the case for long, which I think it's a pretty big chunk of the people, started the pandemic, went away and started to ring our phones again. I think it's pretty impressive the growth that we had, and bear in mind that most of this is organic. When we look into the green side, we're talking about medicine here. And the gray side is Ibmec. Ibmec's a higher end business school that we have that we bought in mid 2020. But when you see the 69 million to 206 million, like the threefold increase over these 5 years, that's pretty much organic, and this is medicine. Same applies on the bottom for the student base. Not to say that it was entirely organic, and this acquisition came a few hundred students, but it's when we see some of our competitors growing, paying $2.5 million highs per seat, this is not what happened. What we paid the most here was 600,000 per seat. And these are still young schools. Now, they're still growing, so they're not a big contribution to the base yet. Well, most of what we see here is organic. This is a growth that, you know, is pretty much predicted. We can tell you, you know, what's going to be this year. We can tell you what's going to be next year. What you see there in Madison, a 14% increase on the base. On the bottom, you see 29% increase in revenues. When you see the total premium segment, 25% increase on the revenues. So result of that is an important increase in EBITDA levels. People who have been following us will remember that first quarter last year, we said that the results on the premium were abnormal. We even gave a guidance to the second quarter, you know, to the semester as a whole. So this 53 should have looked like more like a 49. So, you know, percentage margins, they're still stable as they were last year. Okay. As I mentioned before, we're able to increase prices in a relevant manner here. So digital, again, we brought all the numbers back to 2018. This is 100% organic growth. The green on the bottom is the undergraduate, and the blue is lifelong. You'll see that from 98 to 317 in the course of, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 years. I think it's a pretty impressive growth, especially imagine all the little investment that we did on this. On the bottom, you'll see the same for the base of students. And this is still growing. Okay? People always asking us when we stop to grow. We would not see this happening anytime soon. We see that the base of people with high school diploma and without a high degree diploma is increasing. You know, we graduate fewer people than high schools do. So we see this growth still for quite some time. So we see, you know, an impressive increase in the base for 45%, an increase of revenues in 37%. On the blue side, which is the lifelong, we had a tough time during COVID, and these are shorter term courses. So if people don't enroll, the effect on the base is pretty fast. We are working hard on finding the digital solution for this platform. We are a big lifelong player. Lots of it's still analogic. We're working hard and having some important advancements in creating a digital platform for that. And once we do, I think this is going to bring us a lot of joy and good results. The gray on the bottom of student base is Quer Concurso, which Quer Concurso is an acquisition that we made last year. They were not here in Q1 21. Therefore, we separated the student base. Okay. Quer Concurso, for the one not following you closely, is a platform for short-term courses on preparation for public contests. Very low tickets, but very high volume, have very high internet traffic. And people that, you know, much younger than I am, fantastic creativity and digital knowledge and client view that's, they're helping us a lot, not only with the evolution of Quer Concurso, which in itself is financially sustainable and a very interesting numbers in terms of growth and cash flow generation, but also them helping us becoming more digital as Edux as a whole. The EBITDA on the right top hand side of the page, we have an interesting growth again, 25% versus last year, the margin is still flat, despite the fact that we have a 5 percentage points increase in bad debt here, because the reason for that is, as I mentioned before, the intake, instead of being per semester, became per quarter. So what you have is people enrolling on the first semester, they did not renew in the middle of the year. They became 100% provisioned on the even quarter. So people enrolled in January, they did not renew in July. They become fully provisioned in October, November. Once you move that 3 months, you have a group of people which are not small, because as I mentioned, the intake on the second quarter last year was huge. So what we have is that the people that joined in April last year, they did not renew in October. The people who did not renew in October became fully provisioned in this first quarter. So that huge percentage point increase of 5 percentage points in bad debt for this is a matter of adjusting from everything of the even quarters to everything now in all the quarters. So what we're gonna see with time is a soften of these curves of bad debt along the year's quarter. So this is the first big hit. And despite the fact that we have this, we were able to sustain the same with the margins, which is pretty good. On the bottom here, you see the growth that we're coming on the undergraduate student base by type of center. The growth is coming majorly from partners, which is where we have the lowest margin. Reason for that is that we have to pay 30% commission on the partners. When we have our own distance learning centers, that's where we pay zero. You can see by the figure, looking at it, that the own have grown as well, but the partners are becoming more and more important. Key thing here, which is very important, is that when you see the additional students we get from the partners, their average margin is bigger than my average margin as a whole, and I explain. When you have an additional student from a partner, you have 30% commission that you have to pay, another 10% that on bad debt, and some another ish on marketing. So we're talking roughly 45, 50, 55% margin on the additional students, which is higher than my average of 38. So the operational leverage of this business is huge, and more than enough to sustain the reduction that we have on the margin of the additional students. Notwithstanding that, we have the partners, the growth in the parts coming mostly from the countryside, where generally the prices are higher. On the right-hand side, you can see the average ticket for the ones following me for some time now. You'll be familiar that I'm saying always that the tickets for distance learning will fall. I think what you see here on the 6% is perhaps doesn't reflect the true reality. What we have here is that we have a massive amount of people that joined us, as I said, as of second, third, and fourth quarter last year. You cannot increase people by law before they complete a full year here. So there's a massive amount of number that did not receive, or people that did not receive the 14% increase that we apply to the people that have been here for more than a year. So, the trend for prices to go down is still there, perhaps not as fast. We're seeing some more rational behavior, both in distance learning and on on-site, as this intake season now is going on. And we're likely to see some improvement in those numbers on the quarters to come. The on-site, we split this in two charts because I think there's a lot of news here, and put everything in one chart to be too much to digest. On the top of this page, we see the evolution of the intakes since 2018. So it's a big evolution since last year. This 101,000 students that joined us on this first half is a number, ballpark close to what we have pre-pandemic. We think that this number is small. We'd like to have it bigger, and the reason for that is when you compare it to pre-pandemic levels, we did not have a talent by then, right? So we bought an important group of student of schools in 2020. So if you have apples to apples, we should have to be compared to pre-pandemic levels, a number closer to 130 or so. The good news there is that we think there's a lot of space still to grow. I think there's still an economic challenging situation for us. So the numbers that we're getting here are numbers still in an economic crisis mode. We believe there's a substantial upside in this business still, and that we're going to have intakes better than this year after year as we evolve back into normal economic conditions. On the bottom left-hand side of this page, we have the number of students per campus. We left off before pandemic with 3,600 students per campus. We made the acquisition. We had 15 additional campuses. We shut down seven, most of them our campuses, not from the acquisition. and we're still optimizing that. So we reached on 2000 on the first quarter now the levels, the pre-pandemic levels of student per campus. And this number is evolving well, and we're excited to have numbers to the 2017 levels, which are the FIES numbers, or even 2016, which were high threes and perhaps low fours on the occupation per campus. Okay, this what's happening here. You see a lot of additional students, additional revenue coming in without additional costs or without relevant additional costs, because we have the idle capacity to absorb this. On faculty costs, again, we've been investing a lot in IT, a lot in systems. And when I say systems, it's the software that you see, the apps that you see, but also a lot of hardware behind. We're putting everything in the cloud. We're making sure our monolithic systems are broken down into smaller systems that we can make more agile changes. We're adding Salesforce and other systems to our portfolio. So we had this little bump in 2021, much more because of the revenue side. But we keep on, and if we brought this series back to 16 or so, we would see a number closer to 27% of our costs. So we're still evolving, still some room to go, not a lot, still some room to go on this reduction moving forward. So we split this number here in a slightly different way than we had done before. The dark blue here is the regular paying student. The gray is the FIES student, the student that was financed by the government. This finance program is called FIES. The old FIES was extremely favorable to us in terms of profitability, all in all, because you know students tend to look for higher cost courses, but also all the bad debt was in the responsibility of the government. This old FIES program, this old FIES was shut down in 2015, but we had a legacy of students still studying with us, not graduating. What you see today, the 14,000 is all new FIES. So this is what we're gonna be seeing on a regular basis as size of the FIES base, but again, not a special base. It's not a base that gives us more profitability than the regular student that we have. The 32 in green is the semi on site. So people come here instead of four times a week, they come here twice a week. The other 3 days they study at home. This is growing back to the levels that were pre-pandemic as well. It's something that we did, and I think we hit the jackpot here because we had the students paying 700, we had the students paying 200 for the on site, we had nothing in between for the online. I'm sorry. And now we have these guys in 350 or 400 to be in the middle of the price range. But the point I wanted to make with the dark blue is that, you know, we have had our base and revenues increasing slowly before the pandemic. We took a hit in the pandemic. So that was a sharp drop between the 262,000 to 249. Remember, there's an acquisition here. So there's a sharp drop between 262 to 249. We've been flattish, slightly above. So I think this is good news. I think that we've seen the bottom of the well, and we're resuming growth, especially with this fantastic intake that we had. On the revenue side, it's important that we have an accounting issue. I spoke a little bit about this on the first page. This drop in prices is an accounting matter. We had fewer people adhering to our financing programs, the DIS. Had we had the same levels of DIS adherence that we had last year, these prices here, you'd see them as flat. Okay. This on-campus plus medicine pricing is a number that means nothing. Just some of our competitors like to report it this way, and it, you know, people like to compare their with medicine number to our number without medicine, and it looks bad on us. So we just put this as a piece of trivia information. And again, on top of the page here, you can see the increase in EBITDA was an important increase. Don't get very excited. We're looking into the margins of the three businesses to be roughly in line with what we had last year, which for the on-site was 19 or 20%, I think 20% for the year. This is what we're looking into again this year. It's a matter of, you know, when reported by business unit, the numbers get smaller, some things fit from one quarter to the other. So we're going to see an average for the year of the on-site business, roughly around 20%, like was this last year. Hopefully with greater revenues than what we had. Renewal, one important thing on the renewal. We had numbers that are we've been on a path of growing renewal rates and all the business that we have. Last year we made very aggressive campaign. So in the first semester, the out-of-pocket expenses could have been on 150 highs. So we attracted some people that, you know, had a lower trend to renew. This year, you know, the minimum that you have to take out of your pocket is, you know, like 1,100 reais on the on-site for the semester, usually more. So we attract you know, a better class. So this renewal rate, a little smaller than it was last year, is nothing to be concerned. We expect numbers to resume growth in the future. You know, not fantastic growth, but the low single digit growth that we've been seeing. Because we have, you know, a better class coming up this time than what we had in the past. So I'll hand it over to Rossano to present you some of the financial numbers, and I'll be back in a little while. Thank you.
So good morning, everybody. This is Rossano, CFO of the company. So talking about revenue, we have had a revenue expansion this quarter, mainly driven by the premium and digital learning sectors. That is leading our mix, revenue mix to be increasingly diversified, and we're getting higher exposure to our highest growth and margin sectors, which is the digital and premium sectors. Going forward, discussing costs. So we have had a very strict cost management. We have been very strict on cost management along the last few years, and this is showing with a very strong cost reduction, mainly when we see costs over revenue, basically in every line. So as a highlight, marketing and sales is getting back to a regular expenditure level following a higher than usual Q1 2021. That should be stable along the semester and along the year. The costs are down 2.6 percentage points, mainly due to our increasing efficiency on faculty allocation. This is something that Eduardo has shown you on previous slides that is going down every single quarter, and we again show a relevant reduction on that impact. Leasing. So this was a line we were alert at the start of the year because we know there's a lot of inflation pressure, and that should directly translate into higher leasing costs for us. But we have been very tough on negotiating the contracts and also reducing our space to make sure we are as efficient as possible on the occupation of our sites. So that is also showing as a positive effect here in the quarter. On the other hand, we can see an increase in bad debt over revenue year over year, but that is mainly that is due to extraordinary effects. If we exclude those extraordinary effects that I'm going to explain later on, we should be stable year over year. So what are the three effects I have mentioned? So first of them is the seasonality of the digital intake. As you guys know, until 2020, we had two intake cycles, one every semester. Starting 2021, we have divided the intake into four different cycles, one every quarter. So the effect of that in 2022 is that we also have two cycles of drop-off. We didn't used to have any impact on Q1 in the past. The impact of the drop-off registration on bad debt would be always on Q2 and Q4. And now in 2022, for the first time, we also have the impact on Q1. So that increases automatically along 2023 the cost of bad debt. that should get you to the regular percentage points in 2003 compared to 2021. The second exceptional effect is the renewal of the medicine students that, according to a local law in the state of Rio de Janeiro, we have been forced to have the renewal of every student independently of the delinquency level that we were measuring. So as the renewal is our strongest collection tool, we have seen an increase in delinquency in medicine in Rio. So that is a fact that is going to end this semester. The effect of this law will end by the end of the semester, and we expect a recovery by the end of the year. And the third one is a higher participation of the intake revenue against the total revenue. And we have a higher bad debt provision for the intake revenue, mainly due to what Eduardo explained to you is the DIS, which is one of our tools we use in the intake that basically dilutes the revenue of the first two or three months along the life of the student. So as the increase of the intake revenue over the total revenue has increased, we also increase bad debt over there. So as I said, if we eliminate those three effects, we would be stable year over year on bad debt. Going forward. Okay, so as a result of what we've seen as a revenue increase and also the strict cost control, we present a 23% increase in EBITDA. That is, we should highlight the on-campus sector with 6 percentage points increase year over year, which is driving this change. On the premium segment, it is stable against last year after adjusting for the unusual cost curve that we have seen in the first half of 2021. The cost should be stable along the semester this year. The digital learning is slightly lower, mainly due to the bad debt impact, which was partially offset by a cost control initiatives that also benefits digital learning. Going forward. So moving on to adjusted net income, we see a 33% increase in adjusted income, mainly due to our strongest operational results. It has been negatively impacted by our financial results, which is impacted by the higher cost of the debt, mainly due to the base tax increase that we had in Brazil. We also had positive results on our tax management to have optimized our tax structure, which caused a very positive benefit on the semester. So that leads us to the 96 million result on net income. So we end the quarter with 1.7 billion in cash and a 1.7 leverage rate, which is very comfortable for us looking forward. Going on. So looking to the cash flow, the semester we have generated 86 million in cash. That is 276 million in operating cash flow. That is 38% above the previous year. It represents a 88% cash conversion, which is also very positive and shows how strong our cash generation and balance sheet is. On that scenario, we have run a buyback program, which has totalized $100 million year to date until last month. We are at the moment analyzing the scenario to assess the continuity of this program or not. When looking to CapEx, we have seen an increase of 30% year over year, but that is basically a curve that is flatter than it has been last year. When we forecast full year, we are looking to a 532 million expenditure, which is lower than last year, both in absolute values and as a percentage of the revenue. An important highlight here is the concentration of that CapEx on digital transformation and IT, and also on the expansion of our business, which shows our continuous bet on the transformation of the business on an increasingly digital world. We see the benefits of these investments on the previous slides. Eduardo has shown two very interesting examples, both on the admissions and also on the learning process of our students. And we see that as a very positive, and we'll keep investing in digital transformation and IT along the following years. Having said that, handing over to Eduardo for the conclusion.
Thank you, Rosana. So guys, I'm not gonna read the full page for you, but very important growth in the student base in other businesses. Net revenue also important growth, with the exception of on campuses, and it's what I mentioned to you, some an accounting issue of fewer DIS adherence. We should see some reversion of that in the future. Very important increase of EBITDA, and also of percentage margin. Okay. We put some numbers here on the right hand side of how to look to the future. We mentioned already 7.2 to 7.4 thousand students undergrads towards the end of this year, 2,500 students in the center. The students per campus were at 3.3. So we coming back to the leverage that we had per campus here. CapEx is really important. As Susanna mentioned, we're having a smaller number in nominal terms for this year, which is with increase of revenues. You know, it's going to be, you know, what we had last year, 11%. We should see a smaller number this year. And the way we see this in a couple of years' time is coming back to the 7 to 8% of net revenue that should stay as the reality of the company. Okay. So repeating myself from the first chart, messages that we would love you guys to take home. Very, very good quarter. We're very happy about it. Number two, don't get super excited. Okay, we had a very good quarter, but over a low comparison base. Last year, the second quarter was a fantastic quarter, mostly because we postponed some of the first quarter guys to the second quarter on the intake. So there was a transfer of value from one quarter to the other. So first quarter, we had a low base. Second quarter, we're going to have a high base. So we should see numbers around the same numbers that we had the second quarter last year and the second quarter this year. Okay. So great result. Don't get super excited, but if you see the number, the trend that we have, we cannot understand or justify us trading at, you know, 4 or 5 times EBITDA like we're seeing today. Okay. So I think this is not only for us, but for the sector as a whole, there's a clear improvement. The worst is certainly behind us. You know, we have prepared. We are way stronger than we were before the pandemic, both in absolute terms and in relative terms in the market. We see a lot of small guys in a dire situation out there, waiting to be bought or to go out of business. So we're seeing, I don't want to sound like the terrible capitalist here, but this is what's going on, right? So there's a lot of room for consolidation. We are not super excited with M&A right now. You know, it's became very expensive, some deals, and us holding, you know, poor cash flows while we have very high interest rates in the market. But again, you know, you would have to be in either a company that's in the same situation as us, very undervalued by our perspective, or a very special business that, you know, complements our portfolio some way. So we have a lot of hard work ahead of us, the results that we're showing here is a reassurance for us that we're in the right path. Okay, thank you very much for your trust. Thank you very much for being with us. Again, I ask you, if you appreciated the session in English, let us, our IR department knows, because they keep on bugging me not to do two sessions. And I think, despite the small audience, I think it is worth having a direct communication with you instead of going through a translator. Okay. Thank you.
We are going to start the question and answer section for investors and analysts. If you wish to ask a question, please click on Raise Hand. If your question has already been answered, you can leave the queue by clicking on Lower Hand. Once again, to ask a question, please click on Raise Hand. The question and answer section is over. I would like to hand the floor back to Mr. Eduardo Parente for the company's final remarks.
Great semester. Don't get super excited. Multiple that we have today doesn't reflect the reality that we have. Thank you very much for your trust. Thank you very much for the patience for those who have gone with us through these tough times. And I hope to see you in 3 months from now. Thank you.
eDuke's video conference is now closed. We thank you all for your participation and wish you a very good day.